Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, our text is connected to verse 13, which states, "Let us go forth therefore unto him without or outside the camp, bearing his reproach." That reminds us also this night, we must be ready to bear the reproach of Christ, bear reproach from the unbelieving and the ungodly for the sake of Christ. You must be ready to suffer for the Word of God and His truth, and ultimately for the glory of His name. We must be ready to be persecuted for a faithful confession and a godly walk of life in the doctrine which is according to godliness, summarized for us to this day, particularly in our three forms of unity, our Reformed confessions. The Lord exhorts us to receive that reproach. Let us go, therefore, outside the camp, meaning negatively to stay inside the camp is to show agreement with those who deny the Lord Jesus Christ or oppose His truth in some way or live a life of ungodliness and wickedness. To remain inside the camp means that one would remain in the sphere of false doctrine or wickedness or heresy or teachings which are contrary to the Word of God. And the Lord calls us to go outside the camp. Have no fellowship with the workers of iniquity, with the world, with the unbelieving, those who walk in the path of ungodliness and wickedness or in a path of false teaching. Go outside the camp to the truth of Christ crucified and risen again, holding to that truth purely and faithfully and sharply and antithetically over against the kingdom of darkness. When by faith the Lord gives us the grace to be obedient to that call, the child of God discovers that our life becomes not more broad and easier in this world or in the church world of this day, but our place becomes more and more narrow. More and more we feel alone. And the child of God might wonder in his heart and mind, well, why is this so? Why must I seek the kingdom of God first, but then also suffer for righteousness' sake? And in doing so, why does my place in this life feel like I'm being squeezed so tightly? Why do I feel so alone? And the answer to that question is found in our text. Because here you have no continuing city. Here, no eternal home. None whatsoever. Not in the world and not even in the earth itself, in this earthly life. Beloved, that ought to be your conclusion at the end of another year. You have heard. You have watched. God didn't do it in a corner secretly, but openly He has shown loudly and clearly He is coming quickly. The signs are very clear, very loud. None of us can dispute that truth, that those footsteps of Christ are becoming louder. As those footsteps become louder to us, as we listen by faith, we know He is coming quickly. And as we seek Him in His kingdom, and as our place becomes more narrow, we come to one conclusion, that in this world, in this life, we don't have a continuing city here. We don't. But we seek one that is coming quickly. Call your attention to that truth tonight, briefly, under this theme, no continuing city here. Well, notice, first of all, the city here that cannot continue. And then secondly, we'll consider the only city, the only continuing city that we must seek, and that we do seek by God's grace. The text implies, beloved, that there is a certain city upon the earth, and it's pictured by many of the cities you've read about in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you would read about cities that had walls, large walls around the city, and brings to our minds lots of different things about those cities. If we were to visit those cities, we would have discovered those cities behind those large walls and big gates were places of vibrant activity. Many people living in the city, many people at the markets, buying and selling and trading and doing all sorts of things, talking and conversing together about the things of the day, about the government of the city, or even the religion of the city. We would have noticed that that city or cities were places of prosperity. The people flourished within the walls of the city. They were happy. The children were playing in the streets, laughing and playing together their games. We would have noticed the city would be full of economic wealth, protected by those large walls around the city, so that if enemies might threaten the prosperity and the happiness and the peace of the citizens in the city, the gates of the city could be shut. The soldiers could be stationed along the walls. All would be well in the city. Many cities like that in the Old Testament, some of them became very great, very famous because of the great kings in which those great kings who lived in those cities, like Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. Those great cities of man, like Babylon, were cities of learning, cities of impressive government, and also places of religion. Temples could be found, for example, in the city of Babylon or Athens, the days when Paul visited that city. Today we can think of many cities like that. That's not what the text has in mind to have us think about all the large cities in the earth. But one particular city it does have us think about. And it's a city whose walls have not been finished yet. The major ingredients to the success and the final realization of this city have been established in its foundation stones. It has the basic structure for government, the basic building block of finance and technology, things like military, all those basic building blocks man has established. But as we look into history today, there are certain obstacles that still hinder man from finishing this city. There are geographical obstacles. There are racial obstacles, cultural obstacles, language obstacles, things which are very difficult for man to control and to finish and to work out. And that, beloved, is the global city of man, the city of the Antichrist, the city of the new world order, that to which Satan himself desires to direct and influence man in history in the coming years. That's the city of the world, the city in which there will be one world religion. What are the fundamental characteristics of that city? The foundation of this city, this global city of man, which he is busy building, seeking to establish, is man's sovereignty, man's righteousness. That is, man saying, I will do what I want to do, and I know what is right for me, and this will establish my peace in the earth. A kingdom of man's wisdom, man's work, and man's ability. And in the Lord's providence, because don't forget, beloved, God looks down from heaven upon the children of man, and he knows what's in man's heart. He knows what the devil is doing. He knows the goal to which the devil and man works. This is no surprise to him. Man is building his global city. And so under God's providence, yes, this city of man has developed and has obtained to this day considerable glory and power, some impressive power. We can look back on the year and the things we see in the news in the past year and be impressed by what man can do, only because God has given him the power to do it. And in spite of those obstacles, man will continue to gain in power and earthly glory. He will obtain his global city, which will be inclusive to all the peoples of the earth, all the nations, all the languages, all the tribes. It will be a multicultural kingdom and a multi-religious kingdom, embracing all the religions of the earth and bringing them under one umbrella in the service of what will be the Antichrist, the one who will set himself up on the earth as God to be worshipped through all of these religions. It will be inclusive to all religions except one. And that's the one tonight you believe. That one you and your children confess will not be tolerated in that city. Because this city also has as its fundamental characteristic something which it has inherited through the generations long ago, being rebellious against God and the Christ whom God has set at his right hand. The kingdom of man hates God, hates his word, hates the Christ, hates the church of Jesus Christ. And that's the global city, which has its roots then, long ago, in the Tower of Babel, which was influenced and inspired by the spirit of Nimrod. Remember, Nimrod means rebel. That's the spirit of the Antichrist, Satan himself. And that's the city which he will seek to establish, one which appears in the Old Testament in Babylon, then in the Medes and the Persians or the Chaldeans, and then in the Greeks and the Romans, and will be fulfilled according to the image of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2 in the Antichrist which is to come. By faith, we look very carefully tonight at what's going on around us in history and among the nations of the earth. You can see the walls of that city, the gates of that city, the hospitals, the markets, the places of government administration, the education centers, the temples of that city being built soon to be finished. Although the text implies there is that city developing in strength and power in the last days, There are two things we need to remember about that city in connection with the church, with you and me. First of all, for the child of God, he confesses, yes, there is that city in this earth, but that's not my city anymore. It was, but not anymore. For by nature, we were citizens of that city of man. Dead in sin, we were lost in the hatred against God and against Christ and His Word. No good in us at all by nature. And by nature attracted and citizens of that city of man, of rebelling against God and doing what is right in our own eyes, for our own glory and not God's glory. But God, who is rich in mercy, as Ephesians 2 reminds us, God has redeemed us from that city of destruction, that city of man. Redeemed us from our sin and guilt, redeemed us from the bondage of that sin and the tyranny of the devil, redeeming us through the blood of Christ, and then by His Spirit changing us from citizens of that city of man by nature, now to citizens of God's city with that new nature. He's raised us out of that death into His life, given us a new citizenship so that you carry in your spiritual pocket a passport emblazoned with the seal of heaven. So you are a stranger in this world, passing through. Your passport has been stamped by God in heaven in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's where you belong. That's your home city, your home country. When by faith we see the city of man, knowing our citizenship is in heaven in that new city, then we look at the city of man and we conclude and must conclude tonight, I don't belong here in this city of man, in this world. I don't speak their language tonight. When I listen to what they say on the news, that's not my language. I don't praise man. I don't judge man to be good or partially good this night. The spiritual food of the world, not tempting to me. It's tempting to me, but I know that's not my food. The leeks and the onions and the garlics of the Egypt of this world will not help me persevere through this wilderness of sin and death. I don't belong here. I don't belong in the bars or the movie theaters or the dance halls or the cult places or the false church even. The places whose doors open, Proverbs teaches, to the gates of hell. I don't belong there. I'm a stranger here. I belong to God. And I know that, because I have been baptized, and by that sign and the seal, the Lord reminds us, you're not your own. I have purchased you. You belong to me, and you belong with me. Where I am. Is that your confession tonight, beloved? Do you say, I am a foreigner here, not even a permanent resident in this life? I'm a pilgrim. An alien in man's global city. I belong to Christ. I belong where He is. That first of all, beloved, regarding this city, it's not ours anymore. And secondly, that city cannot continue. It cannot last forever. Don't be deceived by what man tells you this night, in this night of sin, and literally this night even if you watch the news. Don't believe what man says. He says, we'll continue forever. We'll solve those problems of war and racial strife and social strife and all those things. We'll figure it out. We have the power to do it. We have the wisdom. We have the will to do it. And with that good spirit that we have, we will overcome and establish our peace. That's what man will boast. But line that up with what man says tonight, with what Jesus said in Matthew 25 and in Luke chapter 17. Jesus compared the world of the day of Noah and the world of Lot and Sodom and says, that's like the world in the day when I come again. Jesus warns us that that would be the attitude of man. Matthew 25, verse 39, we read, whereas in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Same thing in Sodom, Luke chapter 17, verse 28, the people of Sodom. What did they do? They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, they lived as though their city would go on forever. They could live as they pleased in their homosexuality. It didn't matter. They had their kingdom. They had their life. They had their prosperity. They would live forever. Their kingdom would never end. But let us not be deceived, beloved. The city of man cannot continue here. It cannot continue forever. That's a lie, because that city of man lies under God's curse. God looks down upon the children of men. He judges man from the heart, and he sees rebel written all over man's city. And seeing that, God curses man and that city of man. So for all the glory and all the color and all the high definition, this and that, we might see of the city of man through the internet or the television, by faith we see this dark storm cloud hovering over the city of man, ready to unleash its destructive power upon man at the appointed time when Christ comes again. What's the proof of that? Well, look back into the Old Testament, to the world before the flood. That city of man did not last. It perished in the flood, in God's wrath. Sodom, same thing, perished when God sent out of heaven that waterfall of volcanic fire and brimstone to destroy and to burn up the whole Sodom and Gomorrah and all the other cities around them, so that not a trace of them is left, just a scar on the face of the earth. That's it. And not just those two examples, but think of the Assyrian kingdom, the Babylonian kingdom, the Chaldean kingdom, the Grecian kingdom, and the Roman kingdom, all destroyed as a sure sign that man's last attempt to do it again, to build that Tower of Babel, his worldwide kingdom of earthly peace, built on his own sovereignty, his own righteousness and wisdom and goodness, it cannot endure. Not just will not endure, it cannot endure. Scriptures teach, yes, it will be established. It will continue for just a little time, but that's it. For there's one thing the walled city of man's global city cannot protect itself from. That's the wrath of the Lamb when he appears. There is no wall, no insurance policy, no technology of any sort that will protect man from the coming of the wrath of the Lamb of God. Nothing. The Scriptures teach when he appears, the Antichrist and Satan will be cast into hell instantly. The earth will be burned up. The wicked will be cast into hell. The church, all the sheep, brought into the everlasting kingdom of Christ and the new heavens and earth. Yes, beloved, there's no continuing city here. Nothing permanent. Both from a physical point of view, this earthly tabernacle, we cannot live in this body forever, nor in this life. And for the church, no city here either. We seek one that is to come. We seek one which Abraham and Sarah already began to seek, according to Hebrews 11. Not something new for the saints that we suddenly figured out in the year 2016 that, oh, now we need to seek this kingdom, which is this city which is coming. No, this is what the church has been doing since the beginning. There's only one city, which is ours, and which continues forever. It's a city which is real. It has a real location. It also has a throne and a palace. A city which you and I can see by faith and we can touch it by faith. It's that real tonight. And that's the city of God. God made it. It's a city which comes from God, comes out of His counsel, comes out of God by redemption in Jesus Christ and by the power of His Spirit. It's a city which God has created. He built the foundation of that city. He built the life of that city and the glory of that city. God built that city on the cornerstone, the rock, Jesus Christ. And this city is of God also means it's for His glory. The glory of His sovereignty, His righteousness, His goodness, and His wisdom, which man refuses to confess. Because it's the city of God, it's very beautiful. The beauty of that city is astounding. You read through Revelation chapter 21 and you list all the different precious jewels that are mentioned there that are over the 12 gates of the city. The wealth of that city is astounding, and that's just a symbolic picture of the glory and the wealth of that city, that new Jerusalem, that Zion. And what impresses us is that the glory of that city is not from the city itself. The glory of that city originates from the God who chose to dwell in that city and who lives in that city. That's Jehovah, our God. Beloved, that is your city. Not because we earned a place in that city or worked ourselves into that city. That is your city and my city only because Jesus Christ merited a place for you in that city and has brought you into that city by His Spirit. That's the reason why we can say tonight, yes, though here I have no continuing city, yet I do have one that is to come. Absolutely. For Jesus' sake alone. And I have that city in two senses. First of all, I have it, that city, very soon in its fullness, in its glory. There comes a day my body must go to the grave, but in my soul I can enter into the beginning of that glory of that city in heaven with Christ at His throne. When I die and close my eyes to this night of death and suffering and my sin, I open my eyes and are ushered by the angels into the glory of that presence of Christ. Perfection. Then, at the end of time, which is coming very quickly, I have that city in all of its glory in the new heavens and earth. And I enjoy that city not just in my soul, but I will be able to walk in body and soul in those streets of gold with that innumerable company of God's saints and the holy angels with Christ And that's not a long ways off, beloved. Millions of years or thousands of years in the future, the Bible teaches, Jesus said, who is the king of that city, I come quickly. Quickly. That's the speed of which we need to think about the coming of that city in its great glory. Very soon. But secondly, I also have that city now. Now. Now we are citizens of that city. Now, by the Holy Spirit who lives within you, you share in the glory of that city. And that regenerated heart and that renewed heart, that believing heart, that sanctified heart, heart which knows our sin, weeps over our sin, but sees in Christ our only righteousness and our life with God. That's the beginning of that city in you. So where do we find that city, that Zion of God in this life? Not in the world, but in the church. The hearts of believers and their seed. Here we begin to see the glory of Zion, New Jerusalem. I have the beginning of that new city now. And that city, beloved, that glory of that city is everlasting. This continues. It continues because the foundation of that glory is not your works or my works. Not built even on my faith or your faith. The foundation to this city is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's eternal righteousness. That's a foundation which doesn't end. A foundation which has God's seal of approval on it. So that when we stand in the judgment, we stand on the foundation of a finished work. And in the judgment, we may face the judge in confidence. We are justified by faith alone, through our Lord Jesus Christ alone. We have God's approval, God's blessing. Thus, when the day of wrath comes, which is also coming quickly, there will only be one city that continues, just one. Only one. Not the Babylon of this world, not the Rome of this world, not the Egypt or the Sodom of this world. Absolutely not. The citizens of those cities will perish. Only the New Jerusalem, only Zion shall endure, because it alone by the grace of God, through Jesus Christ alone, enjoys His favor upon His elect in Christ alone. They shall live forever according to God's promise, according to His will. That's why the Lord commands us, come out of that world. Come out from among the unbelieving and the ungodly. Stand in the light of that glorious city. Repent of your sin. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of that city. He is our only hope, our only salvation. The only peace there is that continues. The only everlasting hope, the true safety, the true spiritual wealth and prosperity is only in the great King, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Within the walls of His city, the walls of His truth, the walls of salvation. Therefore, beloved, seek that city to which by the grace of God alone Christ has, into which Christ has gathered you. Don't seek the city which shall perish. Don't lust after her glory and her money and her pleasures, her music, her drama, her dancing. Keep yourselves unspotted from the world, from that which is against God, against his word, against his Christ. Go outside the camp. Yes, your place in life becomes smaller, but there is safety in the life and the holiness of that city of the New Jerusalem. Be separate from the works of darkness. Walk in the light as Christ is in the light. And in that light you will see that that city which we seek is coming quickly. Set your hearts on the riches of that city. Grow in the knowledge of that wealth of that city. And watch by faith the signs of the coming of that city. And when you see those signs coming to pass, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, don't give up. For you will see the signs of the nations of the earth gathering together in power and glory from an earthly point of view to establish their one global city, to establish their kingdom of earthly peace. You will see the growing ecumenical relationships between denominations, even those once reformed, joining with the false church. You will see apostasy ravage the church world. You will see signs come to pass in the creation, some which may even kill some of God's people. When you see these things come to pass, beloved, fear not. Do not be dismayed. For the city of man, beloved, only serves the coming of Christ. Serves the day when Christ will come in his glory to establish the new Jerusalem. All part of God's will, part of his program for history, to which he is directing all things by his great power, with uplifted head, beloved. At the end of another year, believe that the destruction of the city of man is at hand. Also be confident in true faith that your eternal city, the city of the great King, our Lord Jesus Christ, that also is at hand. Amen.